This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's a special episode, and for a special episode, I'm glad to be here with my special friend, Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, before we get started, I have a special message, and this special message is going out to Alvaro Negredo. Alvaro, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want, but I have a particular set of skills. I will look for you. I will find you. And I will let you know how you've made me feel in game week 34.
This is the Alvaro Negredo who outscored Lukaku, who tied Harry Kane on points, right? This is the, you know, who scored as many points as Will Zaha this game week. He is the brunt of way too much blame. Who was probably going to outscore Marcus Rashford?
Yeah, perhaps he will. Yeah, I'm very curious to see how the Man United assets pan out against City tomorrow. We're recording ahead of the Manchester Derby, but the whole, I think Negredo is getting so much stick because of the binary that existed in this game week between him and Christian Benteke.
And see, that was not a binary that I was recognizing personally. I think I did underestimate the like going home to Liverpool thing. And maybe I should have taken that into account. I didn't think he would do anything against Spurs, which was true. And Liverpool's defense had played better. And so, you know, I mean, he scored the goal, but he also picked up, you know, so it was looking like it was going to be okay until he got the second goal. The second goal was really the killer. Otherwise, you're looking at 7 points probably, right? Because he had a goal, but a yellow card. He probably wasn't going to get any bonus points.
When that second goal goes in, that's when you start questioning your own judgment. Exactly. But if it's just the one, then you can chalk it up to a fluke. But, you know, you don't need Always Cheating to tell you. It's the timeless story of form over fixtures. And I guess if you look at Negredo's 2 goals and 4 and Benteke's 3 goals and 4, you can kind of argue that maybe individually they're neck and neck and you go with the fixtures with Middlesbrough. But team form, there was no question. Palace had the team form. And a better
game week 35 fixture, to be fair. And I maybe should have taken that into account. You know, this is where the bias creeps. You know, it's always this question of whether it's bias or like knowledge you've learned. But, you know, I had Benteke for, I think, 6 or 7 weeks earlier this season. And it was right
during the festive period.
Yeah, right after this run where he had scored, you know, 4 or 5 games in a row. And I think he actually scored the first game that I brought him in and then didn't do anything for like 5 weeks. And so in my head, I was thinking, I have a little bias against Benteke.
Yeah,
and it might have clouded my better judgment. I mean, how close were you to bringing in Benteke?
I think we had drinks on, I guess it was Friday afternoon, and I had told you it was coin toss for me.
Non-alcoholic, of course, Brandon.
No, it's fine. I didn't actually open up a bar in Midtown by myself. It's fine. Everything's fine. But it was a coin toss for me, and I ended up going with Negredo because I doubled down in the Crystal Palace midfield, and I had Zaha, and I brought in Andros Townsend. And I thought, triple Palace, too much. I'm going to diversify, and that's how I ultimately settled on Negredo.
Right. So you brought in, yeah, I mean, so it sounds like you weren't really thinking about Benteke, personally.
Not that it doesn't matter. I mean, yes, I didn't have faith in any of these players, to be honest with you. Nobody wanted to play this double game week.
We justified our lack of faith.
Yeah. So ultimately, I just kind of went for diversification over just going with sort of an FPL gut instinct. And yeah, like you say, the game week 35 fixtures were more appealing for Palace. And I just felt like spreading my Palace players in the midfield with Zaha and Townsend, yeah, I'd at least presumably be getting assists. Right. Little did I know that the assists, of course, are going to go to Jason Puncheon and Kabay.
Right, naturally. Yeah, it was like that Adam Clayton assist in today's Burrow game. So, I think both of us got... So I actually ended up with a decent... I'm on 60 points right now with... that's 60 points plus a minus four. And I have... David De Gea still to play. So I can't complain too much. The game week has turned out okay. I did burn four, and it ultimately ended up costing me a net minus five. So I dropped Holgate, and I brought in Ben Gibson. And Holgate ended up picking up 8 points away to West Ham. A West Ham game where West Ham had 11 scoring opportunities. Like, really should have scored in that game, but they didn't. And so he picked up 8, and I got a combined, I got 0 in the first game from Gibson and 7 in the second. So the 7 at least made me feel a little bit better because I was looking at a net minus 12. Yeah. But you had it worse, though, for two different reasons.
Okay. So everyone knows my great Tom Carroll experiment, and I felt like Tom Carroll, he had come to an end. He was no longer getting starts, and Swansea was seemingly relegation bound or had quite a fight on their hands. And it was just he was surplus to requirements going into a double game week, particularly if you feel like you're going to field both Darun and Tom Carroll. Mm-hmm. That's just like a double barrel shotgun that's not going to be able to take out like the smallest animal. So if you can, that's a pretty labored metaphor, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I dropped Tom Carroll to stack the midfield with Darun, Ali, Zaha, Firmino, Townsend. Feeling pretty good about that, playing my all-out attack. Yes, I played my all-out attack chip, which it's sort of like in a horror movie when somebody says, I'll be right back, right?
Yeah, it's like
they never come back. When somebody says they're going to play their all-out attack chip, you're like, well, you're going to get a red arrow.
You know what it is? Are you familiar with the monkey's paw story, Brandon?
Oh, yes, of course. Be careful what you wish for.
The all-out attack is the monkey's paw. Like, you think you're getting something good, and it always, backfires stunningly.
Yeah, so I just got nothing from anyone. Firmino, I think, was my big differential coming into the game week.
But then, and then with the Ben Davies on the bench had to hurt too.
Well, nah, I'm not too worried about Ben. I started Alonso and Robertson in Hull City, and they both more or less came through for me with point returns, which. I mean, it would really stick in your craw if you play your all-out attack and neither of your defenders score points. Right. Yeah, granted, Ben Davies has the same total score as Alonso and Robertson combined. But it just the logic I'm looking at my team right now and the logic holds. It's just I didn't get the points.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, going into. I mean, after Sunday, certainly, I thought you had me for sure. Maybe before the Liverpool game. Firmino blanking was what really cost you, I guess.
I was really shocked by that, too, because in what fixture was it? It was the previous game week. Liverpool played West Brom, and Firmino, Yeah, he got the goal, but he bossed that entire 90 minutes. He looked so amazing. And you're thinking, back at Anfield, Liverpool coming off of a win, they need these points. And it was the classic, Liverpool can't show up to beat a mid-table side. So right. I was really shocked at how ungood, how not good Firmino looked over the weekend.
You're handling it pretty well. And, you know, I mean, my miracle run in the 50 Buck Cup continues.
You're pulling the Spurs on me.
After listening to your
moaning for the entire season, I have to take the high road.
That's true. Yeah, because you really don't let me. You don't give me a lot of room to moan. It's really you give me about 2 seconds, and then you're like, "All right, cut it out."
Yeah, I'm too close to being your. I'm your FPL wife. I can't let you.
I also. It looks like I have now snuck into the playoffs for the Always Cheating Showstoppers League. The top eight make the playoffs in that. So, looks like I'm probably going to sneak in around seventh place or so. A good like 100 points at least below many of the other managers in that spot. And you know what, Brandon? Those managers didn't have a baby this year. So I am, I feel,
for me, you don't know that for sure.
Well, I know that Luke Thunberg didn't have a baby. And
we've
I don't
got
think
42 Jeff managers in the Showstoppers League. Of those 42, I'm sure at least in one other one has had a baby in the last 9 months.
Are they in the top eight, though? We saw Jeff Petter a couple months ago, unless his wife was like 9 months pregnant and hiding it very well. I think that it's a pretty baby-free zone right there. I'm not saying they haven't had kids in previous years, but in this FPL season, Brandon, I doubt it.
Not to get too into this head-to-head league that only has 42 managers in it, but I have to point out to our good friend Richard Orford, who you can check out on our Patreon page over at patreon.com/alwayscheating. Richard was my opponent in the Showstoppers League, and he has this team that it looks like he's been constructing this game week 34 double game week for like the last since game week one. He's got De Gea in goal, Chambers, Gibson, Friend in the defense, and Valencia, Townsend, Son, and Zaha in his midfield, Rashford, Benteke, and Kane.
A triple pro defense is insane. We didn't really have time to talk about that.
I cannot tell you how much that clean sheet that the burger got against Sunderland killed me.
Yeah.
I think that ultimately will be my downfall this week.
Yeah, it was. You kind of knew. I mean, when Darun scored in the eighth minute or whatever it was, you're like, well, I don't think they'll be doing anything for the next 82 minutes. Just sort of.
Oh, yeah. Holding on to those 3 points like grim death.
Yeah. And which is not far off for this team, unfortunately. Yeah. I think they're going down anyway.
All right, Josh, I'm 49 minus four all out. I have nothing in the Manchester Derby. I'm looking at my first red arrow in 7 weeks. So that's kind of a downer, but glad you're looking at a green arrow. So that's good news.
So, you know, it's been a strange game week. So let's, you know, recording this a little late in the week. Obviously, you still have a match tomorrow. Because of that, you know, I mean, we can talk just briefly in the Super League. You know, everything is so complicated right now. There's players who didn't play, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of Man United players, a lot of top players on. But let's just say that through Wednesday night, Anders FK is in first place with 2,040 points. Patrick Connolly's Eat the Kampu is in second. Cesar Rodart's Sessboom is in third. Jake Conyers' Lauro is in fourth. And Fabio Borges' Clean Sheets is in fifth. Now, Fabio Borges in the top 10, I think, the entire season. Don't you kind of want him to get there, Brandon? I mean, he's a wonderful short story writer.
The best Argentina has to offer, Josh.
The best Argentina has to offer. To combine what I imagine were Pulitzer Prize winning works at some point in his career with a win in the Hail Cheater Super League would be pretty exciting for all of
us. He will probably, when he accepts the Nobel, say, this is real great. I appreciate the honor, but hail cheaters. And he'll drop the mic.
Right. He has been dead for about, 30 years or so?
Yeah. Does anybody out there listening know who Jorge Luis Borges is?
Of course they do. He's very famous. Very famous. All right.
Now, I just looking at Bricklayer's Anders FK's team at 2,040 points. I feel like at this point in the season, if you have more points than there are years in the Christian calendar, I think you've got to be feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah.
So
let's finish off the top 10, though, just quickly, Brandon, because there's a couple new names in here. Wee Farhadid, Brandon Diggs is in sixth. Rio Mori 11, Jiming Tan is in seventh, who I don't remember Jiming Tan being in the top 10 before. So congrats to Jiming Tan.
Philip Anthony's
Pochettino tracksuit, also a new name, I think.
Yes.
Is in eighth, and 20 Deuce Heaven, Stan H. Williams, which I think is once again a new name, is in ninth.
And then Got some new bad boys in town looking to play the Super League.
Abdul Al-Mamoon, who has been in the top 10 for a while now, is in 10th place. And Mitch Maynard, just off 10th.
Mitch, you are one Facebook Photoshop away from breaking back into the top 10.
I know. Many Facebook Photoshops. I need to get back about that.
Where you been, Mitch?
He's out living his best life, Brandon. We talked about this. He's doing great.
I feel like word continues to spread about the Super League. I think next season we're gonna have like more than 2,500 managers in this league, and it's gonna be insane.
That is gonna be insane. I am happily somewhere in like 800th place. You know, just by the way,
I'm in danger of dropping out of the top 400. Which, you know, I guess I'm shooting for top 500.
I don't know how it's so big. I am in other leagues with a similar audience. Our league, it's far and away the like largest sort of. Well, okay, I mean, obviously there's like the Fantasy Football Scout League, which is humongous, and like the Reddit League is huge. But of the sort of like niche leagues like ours, it's really quite big, which I like.
Is it all that Facebook ad money that you're spending?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, all the upwards of $5 that we've spent on promotions. So, Brandon, okay, let's get right to it, though. I want to talk about Game Week 35 later, because Game Week 35 is kind of a tricky one. We're not going to do like a game-by-game preview. We're just going to take a look at the game week as a whole and talk about captains in particular, because I think it's a really tricky game week for captains, maybe transfers as well. But I have, you know, so I used my wild card way back in, I think, Game Week 29 or 30. And I'm glad that I did, to be honest.
You've been on a great run ever since.
Exactly. Even if it ends up costing me, you know, in the end, I mean, I think looks like if this week holds, I think I'll have my 10th green arrow in 11 game weeks. So it helped me keep my momentum and also just made the season more fun for me. I think that if I'd played it the right way, like I did last year, waited until game week 35 or 36, or however it worked out last year, maybe it was game week 33. I wouldn't have had as much fun this year. So, but all that said, I don't have a wild card, and I have some areas of concern. Looks like Virgil van Dijk may be coming back. Looks like Danny Rose might be coming back. I mean, a lot of my sort of differential.
Right. So the likes of Jack Stevens and Stephen Davies are shaking in their boots, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't have the luxury of a wild card to get these players out. And so I have to burn transfers on players that I had expected to be double gaming players.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking right now? Who are you planning to bring in? Do you have a couple of players? Have you started to think about your wild card? Are you going to do it this week and wait till game week 36?
My wild card cannot come soon enough, because my squad needs some retooling. I mean, Marcus Alonso is a really interesting player right now because I think a lot of people are sort of jonesing to get rid of their Chelsea defense. They haven't kept a clean sheet in months.
Yeah.
But Alonso is sort of like just enough education to perform.
Right.
Gareth McCauley, Cedric is probably not the most optimal Southampton defender to have. I mean, Bertrand is in pretty good form right now, and you also have incredibly cheap central defenders there at Southampton, assuming Virgil van Dijk stays out of the lineup for a while. But I am going to definitely sit tight until game week 36. I feel like it would just be I've waited this long. And the one advantage I've been hanging on to is being able to roll into the doubles in 36 and then 37 with a really tight squad.
So do you think my question for you, and this is something that I just haven't really thought too deeply about because I played my wild card so early. I mean, you know, all of the, are there a lot of play? Like, is your team set up pretty well for game week 35? I mean, why not just do it a week early? You know, all the players to bring in. With loading up on game week, I mean, I realize it's already Wednesday now. It may be a little late to start your game, you know.
Yeah.
You maybe want to do it a couple days ago. But, I mean, is the idea just that the fixtures don't line up well for game week 35 and that's why you don't want to do it? I mean, it seems like you can just get a head start and start clearing out the dead wood.
I was thinking about the value question earlier today because I was just kind of weighing the, well, should I just trigger the wild card now or do I wait? And then I started thinking about, well, there's not going to be a huge amount of value fluctuation because I feel like transfer market is going to be pretty quiet going into game week 35 because it's such a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
But that said, there's that to me alone is not a reason to not trigger your wild card now because you're then getting a jump start on whatever value fluctuation you're expecting going into game week 36.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Either now or right when game week 35 deadline passes, it sort of makes no difference to me.
So, but, the teams that you really want players for in game week 37 – are you want some Chelsea players, right? You want some Chelsea coverage. You want probably some City coverage.
Yeah, I think it's mainly Chelsea, Alexis Sanchez, and some combination of Spurs players.
Right. No one from City, you don't think? I mean, because they play Leicester and West Brom at home.
I feel like I don't want to overload on City players, given particularly the midfield rotation. Gabriel Jesus is, you know, now traveling with the squad. It's still a guessing game at this point, whether how many minutes he's going to get. Like if Jesus remains out of the picture, I'd say Aguero is looking like a really good buy going into game week 37, but there are too many questions with that City squad.
Feels very risky to possibly a good risk. I mean, if you really needed to make up points, it's a huge gamble, right? Yeah. To bring in Aguero and hope he plays both those home fixtures.
Yeah. Well, the way I'm thinking about it right now is, I mean, to answer your earlier question is I feel like my current squad lines up just decently enough going into game week 35. I'm going to make one transfer, probably getting Negredo out for a player to be named at a later date. Mm-hmm. But this is where we're feeling pretty good about having our Palace players. Like, I'll play Zaha and Townsend again at home against Burnley. But yeah, so my priorities with the wild card right now are Alexis Sanchez and Eden Hazard. That's going to be a boatload of money in my midfield. So at this point, I think it's going to revolve around them and keeping Harry Kane. This is all very expensive. Right. And I'm guessing I'm just going to have a very cheap looking defense to afford all of that.
Right. Something has to go.
So
Marcus Alonso may have to go.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And which that's fine. And defense is going to be, I mean, Yoshida looks like probably the pick of the bunch because he's going to have four matches in two game weeks.
Sure.
And he's probably the least risk of rotation of those central pairing if Virgil van Dijk starts training again. But the biggest question for me right now is Romelu Lukaku. So if I'm talking about all these expensive players, I look at Rom and he has no doubles. However, he has a little thing called Goodison Park welcoming Watford in game week 37. Now,
away to Swansea in game week 36 too, right?
Yeah, that's a really great back-to-back run. Now, right. It's a weird sandwich between Chelsea and Arsenal, but Romelu Lukaku at home to Watford in 37 is the classic, oh, I played the doubles hard and I ended up getting crushed by this one player. Because Lukaku could very well, you know, score a hat trick, four goals. We've seen him do it multiple times this season at home. So I think that's what the tinkering is probably going to revolve around, trying to keep Rahm in the front line.
He may end up really helping me for game week 36 because a lot of managers will be playing their wild card, and Lukaku is just going to have to go, right? I mean, just, you know, you could keep him, you know, for game week 36 and 37 if he was cheaper, but at his price, I don't know. I mean, you can't have Diego Costa, Harry Kane. I mean, you just can't have all these players, right? You have to,
it may be a 3-5-2 run-in for a lot of managers for that reason. If you want to keep Lukaku and have that stacked midfield and also like not completely shortchange your defense. So
you go Lukaku and Kane up front and just no Costa then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Costa, what did we call it when Costa assist to Hazard yesterday, and we dubbed it a red arrow goal. Right. So neither of us have either of those two players, and there were people that were just keeping the faith with Diego Costa, and they got rewarded. And I don't know how to feel about that.
My brother's pseudo-zombie team got super rewarded yesterday.
I'm not on board with Costa at this point. I mean, Hazard is enough money for me on that team, and he is playing the best we've seen since two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's kind of a must-have going into game week 37, and I have no problem missing out on Costa's points just to make that happen.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, I've given some thought to it, but I'm like too like nervous to think about it. So I have not like, I don't know, like I'm going to be in some trouble, I think, in game week 36. What I still have in my pocket is my triple captain. And so that has to be what saves me, I think.
You've got your triple captain and your bench boost.
Bench boost to me is game week 37. But that one's going to be tough for me if I face, like if I'm in the playoffs, you know, if I face any of these managers that are, that have just wild carded, I think they're just going to, they're probably going to blow me out of the water because they're just going to be able to load up on all of these double game week players. And I mean, my team is looking, I probably have something like 7 double game week players already on my team, but there's no way I'm going to get to 15.
Here's the big question, Josh. You have your bench boost. You have your triple captain. Are you going to go the entire season and not play your all out attack?
I was thinking about that. I might play it this game week. I mean, maybe I'll play it in game week 38. I really don't know. I don't think it's a good chip. It doesn't seem to work.
It cost me points this week.
It costs everyone. Like, no one has a good double game. Like, that chip, like it just creates, again, it's the monkey's paw, Brandon. You think it's solving a problem, but it's actually making things much worse.
Oh, it is. Okay, so you're looking at Arsenal. You're looking at Alexis Sanchez, triple captain. You were floating the idea of Gabby Adini. It's nice to see Gabby Adini's getting the minutes.
Yeah, well, Gabby to me is the most logical Negredo move this game week. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's the one I'm probably going to make. I mean, Southampton's home to Hull. He hasn't looked, to be honest, I haven't seen him play very much since he came back. I haven't watched a full Southampton game, so I don't know if, if someone smarter than us can comment on this on Twitter or Facebook and let us know how he's been looking. But, you know, it's
not a huge surprise, though, that it was kind of fluky that he came into the league as hot as he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he's great goal scorers poach goals, and he was poaching goals. But there is a certain amount of fortune involved there that he benefited from.
Sure.
I'm not saying that to scare anyone off of Gabby, but
right.
I say that to mean I wouldn't be too put off by the fact that he's not scored a goal in a while since coming back from injury.
It's just so tempting. I mean, it's possible he won't start all of these games, but Southampton, especially because Southampton have like nothing to play for, but they have 5 games in 3 game weeks, mm-hmm. and it is very tempting to bring him in. It's really tricky with. I mean, the other way to go would be to possibly burn 4 and bring in an Arsenal player, but mm-hmm. I don't really want to do that. You know, before the before the Derby, right? I mean, it's just, it really is tricky. I mean, I guess the teams that have the best Gaming 37 fixtures are probably, I guess it's probably Chelsea, right? Followed by...
Without a doubt.
Yeah, followed by City. But City have, as we said before, have so much rotation that you really, I guess, okay, so let's try to like wrap this up a little bit.
wrap it up.
So Chelsea, they're away to Everton in Game Week 35, which is fine. They'll probably score a couple goals there. And they're home to the Burger in Game Week 36. And then they play West Brom and Watford in Game Week 37. And then they play Sunderland at home in Game Week 38.
Play what could be the worst Premier League team of this millennium.
There should be goals in all five of those games. So I feel like, even tripling up on Chelsea would be... I only have one Chelsea player right now, and... I'm not even sure how I would
be Marcus able to, Alonso.
Marcus Alonso. And I'm not sure how I'd even get to three. And to be honest, I'm not sure that I would get to three. I mean, I guess I could double up on the defense. But I'm a little...
Why though? They really can't keep clean sheets at all.
It would be hard for... You know, maybe like you said about 3-5-2, it's just... It's hard to figure out how to have Dele Alli...
Sanchez Hazard.
I mean, that's, what is that, like 33 million or something like that?
It's approximately 120 million at this point.
And then you add Lukaku and you add Kane, and suddenly you're talking about, like, you know, 55 million or something like that, spread across five players. And it's just hard to have the money to put together a good team from there, you know, like a team of players who actually play.
Yeah, it's the Arsenal team is troubling me. If we can talk briefly about Arsenal, I don't know what's left to be said about them, but you should be salivating at the mouth owning Sanchez going into four games in two match weeks. That's just insane. But Sanchez and this whole Arsenal team, and the Arsenal of what they've won two on the bounce now,
right?
Including the FA Cup. They still don't look good.
No. I mean, I think today's game can be a little excused. They're playing, a team that's playing a lot better, and they just played 120 minutes on Sunday. You know, like a very tense 120 minutes. So, I wouldn't have expected them to come out like all guns blazing in this match.
How are we feeling about the Arsenal defense leading up to these doubles? That to me is like only it's a luxury. Like if you had the money, but they've not been bankers for clean sheets all season.
Who would you bring in if you had to bring in one defender? Who would you bring in?
Well, I think I said Mustafi a couple weeks ago. It changes every week. Montreal is suddenly the man, but I'm kind of thinking Peter Cech might be a way to go.
Yeah. See, check wouldn't work for me because I have De Gea and Pickford, both of whom have double game weeks in 37. Mm-hmm. So I guess Koscielny's too expensive. Bellerin is like not a starter now. Or he sometimes is. I don't really know what's going on with.
Would you start that guy with those cornrows?
Maybe not with those cornrows. That's true. So Monreal is 5.8. I mean, Gabriel, I guess that's the obvious one that we're not talking about, right? But is Gabriel, I mean, are Arsenal going to stay with this three at the back formation for the rest of the season? I don't know that they are. I'm not sure it's even really been that effective. It's so weird that like 33 weeks into the season, Wenger suddenly like adopted the Chelsea approach. Like
I've got a conspiracy theory. I've got a conspiracy theory here for you, Josh. Like maybe the board sat Wenger down. Now I think the dominating narrative would be the board will never sit Arsene Wenger down. Arsene will sit the board down. But what if they sat Arsene down and said, "You've got to prove to us that you can become a modern manager, and to do that, you have to show us that you can coach the 3-5-2."
This assumes
a tryout for next season.
This assumes that the Arsenal board ever talks to Arsene Wenger and they even care about the results at Arsenal, which they don't.
No, when I say Arsenal board, I mean a couple of guys on Arsenal Fan TV dared Arsene to do this.
Oh, okay, right. Nope, that makes sense. So I think it's really tricky. It's going to be hard for me to field the team I want without burning some points. the shape of my team right now is it's kind of a mess. I really don't know what to do in certain, like some player, like Zaha, like probably has to go after game week 35. I mean, maybe he gets a stay of execution because he's kind of cheap and they play Hull in game week 37.
I wonder about the Palace team because they've clearly been, you know, working their asses off the last month. They've been playing great. But, like, the type of game that Zaha and Townsend are playing, I don't think they can keep it up, particularly given the, you know, City in game week 36. I guess, you know, they have Burnley and Hull between City and Manchester United. But I would not be surprised to see Palace kind of tail off toward the end of the season.
But not a lot surprises you, Brandon. I mean, you're always ready, aren't you? You're always prepared.
Even keel.
Even keel. All right, so that's I don't know what that was. Okay, that's our wild card preview.
I think what we need to do is come back in the next episode, and so yeah. I think we've kind of outlined what I'm feeling right now are key questions and must haves. I think what we need to think about a little bit more and come back to the listeners with next week is who are those cheap guys that are going to be filling out. All those spots.
Before you can even start making moves, you have to do this kind of thinking, right? You have to spend. I mean, if you're a serious enough fantasy player that you're listening to a podcast like this, then you're willing to do this, right? Which is basically take a half hour, whatever hour, couple weeks, and really think about what you want who the most essential players are, how your team looks right now, how you're actually going to get there with your moves. I mean, if you have a wild card, it's easier, but. If you don't, it should still be fine. I mean, when I built my wild card, I certainly had game week 37 in mind. I already knew that there were going to be fixtures that game week. So I think, I think you can do it even if you've already played your wild card. You just have to be very cautious about all of the next moves you make, right? There are theoretically three free moves that you can make before game week 37. And if you burn four, that's four moves. I mean, with four moves, you can completely change the entire spine of your team.
All right. Now that you're talking about that, we have an email from Sean, a friend of the pod. He emailed in with a similar question, Josh. He says to us, so I have it planned for a while to use triple captain on Alexis in game week 36, bench boost in 37. All right. That's standard. And his aim is to have 15 double game week players for game week 37. So if he wants 15 double game week players, it'll cost him, he's calculated, Sean has, 24 points over the course of however many transfer windows he's got until game week 37. He currently has 8 double game week players. So is this a good course of action to try to amortize 24 points worth of hits?
I mean, obviously not, right? I mean, given what we just saw with this game week, right? I mean, taking up good players at point hits to bring in players that stink is not the right way to do this. And to have 15 double gaming players, they're not all going to be Eden Hazard and Harry Kane, right? So, I mean, it's like, is it really worth it to burn four to take out Wilfred Zaha when he plays at home in game week 37 to Hull City? Probably isn't, right? It's just not the best use of your available, transfers. So let's look at who has good fixtures but no double game weeks in game week 37. Okay.
Well, we already mentioned Everton, Romelu Lukaku. So if you have an Everton defender already in your squad, could be worth holding on to for game week 37. So it's kind of Lukaku and an Everton defender there.
Bournemouth, I think if you had Junior Stanislaw, I'd probably keep him. They're home to Burnley in game week 37.
Sure. Junior Stanislaw, you surely mean Joshua King.
Oh, why do I always do that? It's amazing. Yeah, obviously.
wishful thinking. Right. It's wishful thinking, Josh, for all those weeks you've held on to old Junior.
We talked about Palace. I mean, you're still going to go double Palace midfield, right? I mean, you're just going to ride. And Andros Townsend, you had to like feel a little dirty about bringing him into your team.
Oh God, I hate that guy. But that was one of my dirtiest moves in recent seasons.
Yeah, it's like the last time you had to bring in Ashley Cole or something.
Exactly. It's a real rogues gallery of dirty transfers over these many seasons.
Ryan Shawcross transfer; those are never good.
Yeah, I kind of hated it, but I talked myself into it.
Okay, so Watford, Crystal Palace, Who else? Who else has a D? I mean, Liverpool are away to West Ham. I think Liverpool players all have to go, though, because they're too expensive. And I think they can be used to fund. Away to West Ham is an okay fixture, but it's not a terrific fixture.
Yeah, and Liverpool's sporadic form, it's just been infuriating. And, yeah, Firmino or Coutinho, they're those players that you are excited to have in your team, and you're excited when you've got a kickoff and a Liverpool squad or a Liverpool match. It's going to be fun. They're going to be fun to watch, but they cost too much money for what you're going to need to get for double game week players in your midfield. They need to be cleared out for either a cheap player or a double game week player. No question.
Yeah. Let's see who else. I mean, Swansea away to Sunderland, not a terrible fixture.
Again, it's the same deal with Gylfi Sigurdsson here, where Siggy could...
But if you had Alfie Mawson...
Yeah, that's not a bad shot. Get a cheap Swansea defender. I like that more than... Siggy could get you double points, but or he could not. But he's just at that price point where he's gonna prevent you from bringing in another double game weaker.
And are you still thinking about captaining Gareth McCauley in game week 37? I mean, he's got two wonderful fixtures, home to Chelsea and away to Man City.
How many times do I have to say it on the pod, Josh, that McCauley's a set it and forget it player?
That's right. Set it and forget it captain, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
old Gareth. I can't believe he's still on my team. What a survivor.
So Bournemouth, Everton, and maybe Swansea.
Yeah.
And maybe Crystal Palace.
Yeah. I think those are the ones right there. But yeah, yeah.
But just if you're in the position, who wrote us again? I'm sorry, was it Chris?
Sean.
Sean. Sorry, Brandon. Sorry, Sean. If you're
Don't
Sean,
apologize to me. Apologize
and you're thinking
to Sean
about burning 24 points. Maybe those are two places. You know, if you have players from those four teams, maybe those are areas where you can save your transfer, save your minus four, because their fixtures are good enough that you can kind of.
Yeah.
A double game week is not always just inherently better than a single game week. As we just and not, saw, yeah, not Chelsea to assets.
Yeah, exactly, and not to dredge up the corpse of last season's double game week, where Spurs dominated as single game week players over the doubles. You know, you're going to have some double game week players that do well, and others that don't. And you don't break your team to field a full 15.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun, but I think if you can even get to 9 or 10, then I think that's fine.
You're probably still going to be doing way better than, you know, all your other mini league managers, presumably, if you're fielding 9 double game weekers.
Well, Sean, keep us updated on how this is going for you. I'm curious if he actually if he goes through and burns 24. I want to see how it pans out for him.
We need a big board that, every time Sean burns a transfer, the number ticks over.
All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break and let's talk about game week 35.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Game week 35 is upon us, just a couple of days. It's broken up very nicely, Brandon. We've got five fixtures on Saturday and four on Sunday and then one on Monday. The Monday fixtures are not great for me. I have to say it's not great for my productivity at work. it's not great for my emotional state. I like to be at, like on the couch or with a beer, you know, like tracking games by refreshing Twitter in between, you know, creating a direct marketing campaign or something is really not my.
Oh, and traits that we carry with us, Josh, as men from the American Midwest is guilt and shame. And these are things that are very difficult to hide, particularly like both of us were in meetings at work during the round of fixtures on Wednesday.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, I'm sheepishly like checking my phone under the like conference table.
Oh, for sure. We all do that. You get a glass of water. That's a good time to do it.
You just get up and leave the meeting to go get a glass of water.
Well, not a one-on-one meeting, but if it's like if there are 14 people in a, you know, like we often have meetings in my office that go on for like 90 minutes or more. Right. So, you know, if 55 minutes in, I need more water, then that's when I get up. get a little more water, come back. It's, I don't have a massive office like yours, you know.
That is a 90-minute meeting. You're probably taking pizza breaks at that point.
I wish.
All right, enough of this nonsense. Yeah, Monday fixtures are terrible for people at work. Some people have to work on the weekend, though, Josh.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody's working for the weekend, Brandon, that's for sure.
All right, so when these games kick off, Southampton Hull being the first one I see, Brandon's wild card will be triggered.
Okay. That'll be fun because we're watching these games together, I think. So I'll make moves in real time. Okay, let's start off with Southampton. Okay, actually, let's not even go through all these fixtures. Let's just talk about some of the key fixtures that come up. I'm particularly curious, as you look at these 10 fixtures, where do you see captains? Where do you see players you might want to captain this game week?
Well, right now my armband is on Harry Kane. Mm-hmm. Kane always scores in London derbies, as we all know. They're home, they're high-flying. Arsenal look kind of, I guess they're kind of limping along. Mm-hmm. And they could put up a real score against Arsenal, I think. A weakened defense, they're trying to play a new formation. If Arsene dares to go three at the back against Spurs, they could get done in a major way.
Yeah, I currently have mine on Kane, too. I'm considering dropping Negredo for Gabbiadini, and I would consider captaining Gabbiadini in Game Week 35. I know that's a bit risky.
It is risky. Hull has an amazing record at home, but they're away here against Southampton. And Southampton, I mean, they comported themselves fairly well in the first half against Chelsea. For a team that should, by all accounts, be on the beach, they haven't really totally checked out.
No, they haven't totally checked out, and they're in a relegation scrap for sure. I mean, they're what, 2 points ahead of Swansea with 4 games to go. So, I mean, they'll be playing.
Speaking about Hull.
Oh, speaking about Hull, not I'm sorry. Right. So they're playing Hull. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be that, you know, it could be back and forth. I don't know. I mean,
it's Hull, an interesting points, point. Though. I don't
they can't play for
how
a
does,
draw, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the question. How does Hull play this game? I feel like, I don't know.
Well, Swansea have a better goal difference than Hull. So Hull can't just get a draw, you know, and because if they get a draw and Swansea win, then Swansea will actually be ahead of them in the table. And Swansea actually have an easier run-in than Hull do. So I think that Hull really need to try to win this game, which actually might make it more likely that they lose the game.
Yeah, no, it's true. At least likely that they won't keep a clean sheet.
Right, they won't keep a clean sheet at least, yeah. So,
okay, yeah, I like that. I like the Gabbiadini shot. I think that's a good tip.
Yeah, I don't love my team this game week. I've got Sanchez away to Spurs, Kane and Ali at home to Arsenal, Lukaku at home to Chelsea. I just don't see a lot of things that really get me excited about this game week.
Classic flat track bully, Lukaku, probably going to be the Everton team's going to be a little scared going against Chelsea.
At least
Chelsea.
He's at home. I mean, the guy just cannot score on the road for some reason. At least he's not up late. Lukaku.
That game against West Ham was ridiculous, by the way. Like, Everton looked reprehensible, man.
They didn't show up. I can't believe they didn't lose that game. I mean, the goal rush. Yeah, I mean, goal rush is. I think rush is not quite the right word for what the NBC coverage is here.
Yeah, for those of you who don't get goal rush in your cable network, so what NBC does here in the States, where they have one featured game, and whenever there's goal mouth activity, is goal mouth a thing only in hockey? I don't know. There's goal-like activity, they move around the country to various grounds, but. At luck of the draw, Everton West Ham was the featured game on Goal Rush, so there were goals happening everywhere except for this godforsaken game.
And then for some reason, when a player is like down injured, even then they won't cut away. It's like only a goal will they cut away for. Anyway, that's an American complaint. What about Man United at home to Swansea? I mean, I wish if I had Marcus Rashford here, he'd be a player I'd think about captaining.
Yeah, I like that. I like a Marcus Rashford captaincy, though. I mean, you would assume Rashford starts. The whole Ibra... Rashford sort of came into form at just the right time when the Ibra injury happened, and United need wins, like, just as much as all these other teams. So, yeah, Rashford would be a very good captain choice. A good captain choice.
What about Liverpool away to Watford? I mean, maybe, you know, Firmino. I mean, we're getting into the punt category now.
It is tempting. Liverpool are going to be asked in a major way by Klopp to bounce back after their performance against Palace, and Watford just absolutely dire, you know, with a man up against Hull.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, you could see any Liverpool player doing decently, but again, do you trust that Liverpool squad? They're just kind of a little rudderless without Mane and Lallana.
I think the sensible move would be a Spurs. So Arsenal have just played 210 minutes over the last, you know, 4 days with very little rotation. And
they're approaching the length of Two Towers, the extended edition.
Right, exactly. And they're playing a Spurs team that's very good at home. So to me, I mean, I think Kane or Ali. I mean, Ali's numbers are just as good as Kane's over the last several game weeks.
Yeah, penalties is going to give Kane the edge.
Yeah, I think so. But Ali is, I mean, you're right. And Kane has always played so well against Arsenal. I think he's going to be my captain choice. Just for fun, I was thinking about other options who might work. And Gabbiadini is one who stands out. So we'll see. I'd certainly want to get rid of Negredo as soon as possible. I mean, I have no faith that guy's going to score another goal, possibly in his career. Gross.
Negredo, I told you once, I have a special set of skills. I will find you.
We'll see what happens with Rashford tomorrow. If Rashford went off for like two goals or something, I'd be so... Because the argument for Rashford was that you get three good fixtures, right? Mm-hmm. You get the double game weeks coming up too. I mean, he really was the ideal player if you thought he was going to play a lot, but he just didn't pan. You didn't get him for the good game, and now you don't have him for the
Sunday fixture comes very quickly after the Manchester Derby, though. So if you assume, I'd be curious to see what kind of lineup gets put out against Swansea on Sunday. It's not a lock.
He's played a lot, and they have two you know semifinal legs coming up, and it seems like Mourinho is really going for the Europa League semi. I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, it's an automatic spot in the Champions League next year, and you know they're definitely the best team of the four that are remaining. So I think that he definitely should go all out for that, because then at that point it doesn't matter what you do in the rest of the season.
All right, where are you at? I've got two other fixtures. Where are you at with Palace against Burnley here?
Zaha would be a fun player to captain. I don't think I quite have the guts to do it.
Yeah, I would not recommend captaining. Burnley are getting sucked into the relegation zone. They are a team capable of playing really good defense. So that is incredibly risky. Less risky, though, Josh King, right? Playing
right.
A truly garbage, epically garbage Sunderland team who... Are they not mathematically relegated yet?
They're playing like they are. If they haven't been, then they're playing like a team that knows it's not staying around.
I mean, Josh King is just the gift that keeps on giving. It's really incredible. I will be curious to see where King lands in all the captaincy polls.
I know. Yeah,
he's got to be top three, maybe top. He's easily top five captain choices this week.
It does seem like he's still slightly under the radar, but yeah, I mean, he really definitely should be. What about clean sheets, Brandon? Who sticks out to you as a clean sheet option for Game Week 35?
Well, good clean sheet options. That is a tough one.
Southampton home to Hull. That's a decent chance of a clean sheet there, I think.
Yeah, I do like Southampton. You know, if Hull is going full attack and it doesn't quite work out for them, it could be a mess for them. Gareth McCauley is probably going to get a run out for me. This is going to be the last hurrah for Gareth McCauley, so let's go out with the big one.
It's very possible. Yeah, I think, I mean, the Crystal Palace game, right? If you brought in a defender for the double game week, then I would certainly.
Okay, so I wasn't following these games too closely. Did I see Mamadou Sakho on a stretcher at some point today?
Yeah, so Sakho's out. I don't know what the extent of the damage is, though. I just know that he's out.
What's the damage, bro?
Yep, I don't know what the damage is, bro.
I mean, I guess Sakho has been like a behemoth for them, but I don't think that they're set back too far not having him against Burnley.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Patrick Van Aanholt apparently isn't a sure starter on that team. I would have thought he was, but I guess I don't.
PVA, that guy, don't. He's on my naughty list. I am not a PVA fan. He scores the odd goal. I mean, he scores more than the odd goal, but
for like, this
what
season,
what even is he?
He's really more of a winger. He's like he would fit well as like in the Victor Moses role for some team.
Yeah, no, that is true. Okay, we're totally overlooking Manchester United here for clean sheets. I think that's a great. You've got a field.
I've got De Gea. I really regret bringing in Ben Gibson instead of Daily Blind. I think it's a mistake that could really end up costing me. The problem is, I'm not sure. I mean, the concern I had was that, I mean, the way Mourinho's talking, he's doing everything he can to goad Smalling and Jones into like manning up and playing, you know, like as soon as possible. And I just wonder if that fixture is a fixture where you might see some rotation. I don't know. You know, I mean, I have a hard time with this Man United team because I feel like it's very hard to pick any sure starters.
Yeah, I think Bailly is the only one at this point.
Right. And even him, they've been talking about possibly rest at some point.
That's all jibber jabber.
it's unlikely, I will grant you. All right, Brandon, I think that's enough of our rudderless podcast. Hopefully it was useful to people. Where can people find us, Brandon?
Josh, people can subscribe to the Always Cheating podcast on iTunes, where we'd love it if you love our podcast, give us a rating, leave us a review. You can also subscribe to us on SoundCloud. We're on Google Play, Stitcher Radio. I'm doing this freestyle here, Josh. TuneIn FM.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Pocket Cast is another one. you get your podcasts.
Yeah. You can support the podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/alwayscheating. Thank you so much to all the Patreon supporters. It is incredibly appreciated. And we actually have a podcast coming up with the Knockout League winner. Dave Wegner-Lodell. And so stay tuned for more information on that. We've been working with Dave to set that up. And we'll also extend the invite to the person that wins the second half league that we started as well. So we'll be, we have at least one more special podcast that we're doing for Patreon supporters.
Lots of killer content coming up.
Yeah, I think we've done more than we said that we were going to. So I feel okay about that. But I want more. I want everyone to feel like being a Patreon supporter is something you want to do because you like the podcast, you want to support the podcast. But I certainly want you to feel like you get extra bonus content as well. So stay tuned for that.
And you can also email us like our good friend Sean did, hailcheaters@gmail.com. Jeff, we're going to respond to your wildcard email, so don't worry about that. But yeah, thanks for being in touch, guys. Thanks for listening.
You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/hailcheaters, facebook.com/alwayscheating. So visit those sites. And if you want to send us a bad Photoshop and pick up where Mitchell Maynard left off and abandoned us, then please feel free to do so.
All right. Good luck in game week 35, everybody. I think you're going to need it.
Yep, I agree. So, all right. Good luck, everybody.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, Access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.